It's Sunday morning, September 11th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service this morning. Bless each one of us. Bless us with your truth, your very nature, your love, but particularly your truth. Bless us that the light from heaven would shine there, and that we would recognize your truth. We would be able to express it. We'd recognize it when you hear it. Do that good work in us today by your Spirit. Amen.
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 So the Seavers are back. So that makes it take them. It's always a big deal for me to fly and go any place. I mean, that's a big deal. But I have to kind of backtrack a little bit. Okay. I have been having terrible sharp pains in my stomach for probably a year. I mean, the kind that would wake me up in the middle of the night, and I would be just, oh my gosh, I'd be in such pain. I'd halfway running down the hall. It hurt. There's just, I don't know how else to say it. And I'm like, Lord, just stop this, please. You know, I was at my wit's end. So I had asked for prayer a couple times, and Charlie's great at praying over the phone. If you ever call, if you ever need, dial Charlie. He'll pray. And that's not a puffing up. That's just, you know. And it was on the basically the 29th. We were leaving on the 30th, and I was at my wit's end because I was just in such pain all the time. I couldn't stand it, and I thought, how am I going to make a trip waking up in the middle of the night? And, you know, just pain after pain after pain. And I started to fall asleep. And I was in this sleep begging God to please help me, please, please help me. And it was kind of a twilight thing where you're half asleep and half awake and all that's going on. And the only way I can say it is say it how it was. I could see kind of a hand reaching down into me and pulling out this, and it looked like a snake, no offense towards Curtis, but it was only about like this big, but it was very thick and gave me the creeps. And it was like ripped out from me. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm just creepy. Fell asleep. No pains. I haven't had any pain since. I mean, and very ironically, I woke up with two marks on my wrist the next morning. I had a sore here, but I had two marks right here. And I'm going, Lord, I don't care how you did it. I don't know what you did. And it was like a snake form, but not. And I went on this vacation. I slept the night before we flew out. I had no pains. I have had no stomach pains since. And it's been a year. I mean, a good year that I mean, Corky can attest. I mean, I'll wake up and I'm halfway running down because I'm in such pain and it hurts. And thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I have no pain. I don't care how he does it. I don't care if it's in the twilight. I don't care how he wants to do things in me. It was a true blessing. And when we got up to go on the plane, I was at Pole Peace. Just so happened that the airline we were flying on had movies on the back of the seat. And I was like, yes! you know. So I watched the Chronicles of Narnia. You know? I mean, but it was, I was like, thank you, Lord, for all this. And it truly was an absolute blessing. God has work to do in me because I need parts. And I figure if he can take things out, he can put things in. And that's what I need. I mean, my balance was not the greatest on this trip. I did look a little bit like a drunken sailor, but, you know. But all in all, God is good. I have to, there is no way I can get around that this was not the glory of God, and there's no way that any, I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing, and it was kind of ucky, but I'll take ucky, you know. So, however God wants to take things out of me, he can, yo, take them. But I was at my wit's ends, and I was half crying, half awake, half. But I don't care. So, if that makes any sense to anybody, it doesn't matter, because it sure made sense to me.
You did do something. You prayed.
I prayed.
And you believed.
I did.
Were you?
Yes. And I said, whatever. Yeah, I didn't care at that point. Please, Lord, whatever. Yes. Yeah. So.
You know, the more that we can remove our thoughts and our thinking, like, because you said, you know what, Lord, do it however you want to. Here we are, okay, Lord, I need you to do this and this and this in this order. And that's where we come in, not to help. We come to hinder our own prayers, our own requests to God. Now, I'm going to go pray for a friend on Wednesday. He, you do your request more, but his name is Steve. He lost his eyeballs.
Sure.
He's not only blind, but he's Steve Smith.
Oh, lost his eyeballs.
Yeah. So his eyeballs came out.
There. Oh, yeah.
Okay, and I'm looking at him. I don't know what he said, but whatever she said, I said, baby, I said.
Okay.
What's the difference to God? You know, fix his eyeballs, give him eyeballs. What is the difference? Somebody give me an answer. Is there a difference? There's no difference. Mm-hmm. Now, and like I happened yesterday, we went to this church. World Harvest, and the lady preached on Ezekiel 37. And Ezekiel 37 to me is like saying, when you say to the mirror, I've heard that, I know it. Mm-hmm. I know all about Ezekiel 37. But all of a sudden, it's just different. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, a scripture that you've heard, that whole passage is different. And so there's this dry bones. I'm so glad God didn't ask me to pray for the dry bones. The scripture was finished right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Pray for the dry bones. But God doesn't need a body to fix a body. He doesn't need a something to fix a something. He doesn't need anything. You know what I mean? So even the dry bones, and all of a sudden these dry bones look like me, like you guys, with this flesh. God breathes life into him. There's that I would imagine they're talking. You know, the normal. From dry bones. And God used dry bones just as he would use dust, as he did with Adam. That's what he needs to make things dust. I'm going to make a man. Oh, I need bones, I need some flesh, some blood. No, stop it. Stop thinking like that. Let God do whatever. You know what I mean? God doesn't need. You and I, if we're going to build a house, let's say we need boards and siding, electrical. God needs zero. Zero. That's my God, at least. That's my God.
Glory, yes.
And anyways, so my faith has changed. So we're going to go pray for this guy that God gives him eyeballs. You know what I mean? He, just like he can heal him for a cold, give him eyeballs. And people have been praying for him for a long time. You know what I mean? Different people. Maybe it's a work that God wants done in him. You know? So we're going to talk about different things. Is a work going to be done? Blah, blah, blah. Either way, we're going to pray for God to give him eyeballs. And you guys pray for him. I mean, we have... We are already praying. We're not waiting for us to get there and lay hands on him. We are already praying. We, Katie and I, have already prayed. There's no reason for us to wait to get there. You know what I mean? And we met a lady yesterday at Lofton Church. She's 65. Her husband died 12 years ago. And she's lonely. So, yeah, come back. Let's pray that you will get have a man that takes care of you. I held hands with the lady. We pray. And I have a short list of all these people that I've been praying for lately. And that's, I added her to my list. I told her, I'm coming to the wedding. I said, don't invite me, I'm coming anyways.
She said, even if it's held at the courthouse, and even if I'm the only man, I'll be there. But meanwhile, she was already enthralled with talking with him. And then at the end, she was like, but this is your husband, right? I'm like, he said, I'll be the only, even if I'm the only man, whatever. And I'm like, wait, but the second. And then she said, well, you come to it.
But anyways, guys, ladies and gentlemen, from the church, when you are presented with this an opportunity to pray, take your brain like a big football and kick it. Give it to Bill. What is the name of the kicker?
Crosby.
Give it to him to kick it as far as away as possible, and just pray for whatever. Who cares what it is? It's a dying person. Says who? Now, you know what? God maybe wants the person to die, whatever. That doesn't mean just pray. The God that we pray for does not have a limit. There's no limits to our ridiculous brain. It's ridiculous. I mean, God put in writing his word. He put in writing his being, just to be silly, really. Because it's silly that God's being is not, you know, it's not silly. God's being is in writing, and we have it. And we have it in us. And we can talk to it. We can relate. We can have a conversation. He can help us. My prayers are going to be bigger. My requests are going to be bigger. So just like Susan, God, I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you did it. Excellent. The less we know, the better.
Yeah.
The more we try to figure it out, the farther away we're going to be removed from his plan and his glory and his whatever. God is unfigured. You can't figure him out. You cannot figure him out. And I'm so glad that, you know, God, I don't know how you do it. Exactly. Awesome. We don't know how he does it. We know how he can fix a cold. You know what I mean? All these things. God is awesome, and he wants to stay in that awesome category for us. Always. He's awesome. He's all everything. He's amazing. You know, I went on a walk, and I was thinking, I don't have words, but I'm almost tired of his amazingness, of his something. Greatness. Yes. God is just, I can't, if I think about God for too long, I'm all tears. Conversation is over.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, glory, Susan. Glory, mm-hmm. Just take your brain and don't let it think. Leave it out of the picture, out of your vocabulary, and let God do what God does. That goes beyond, way past our brain. I mean, the fact that we think that a brain, a as anything to do with whatever, what God does. So, if Kirby's bones, Kirby's dry bones live, don't ask me. But you know, please don't ask me. Can this with me? Anything. You know what I mean? Please soon, all of us. I want to see all of us. There's no doubt, no nothing with God. So glory.
Lord.
Something that I've gone over and over, especially in the last few months, remaining faithful even when things don't look amazing, but continue to remember the service we had the one time where Susan was like, sometimes I can't even pray. I'm just like, oh. It's like, you know, when people say, well, all I can do is pray. No, that's, no. We have to pray. Pray is a given. Pray is a requirement. Pray is your reasonable service. The bigger thing is the trust. So when people say, well, all I can do is pray. Mm-mm. No. That's already, you're in the wrong mindset. They have to pray. You got to pray. But now, the biggest is, all I can do is trust. And I have done that when I wasn't sure about the next hour, the next minute. That I have to keep trusting, stay strong, trusting. But something that has infiltrated me, and then I say it to Pablo, because when the things come on, and then he's like, why, you know, it's been wonderful the last few weeks. But it was days that it was like, why do I still have this? And it was, I don't know. But every promise is true in God's word. Every promise is true. So us as Christians, it's easy for us to, we love this one and we love this one. This one hasn't really fulfilled, so probably. But every, you have to believe every promise or none. And so I say this over and over in my head. As soon as I start to falter about something or anxious, whatever, do you believe all the promises or not? You know what I mean? It's either all or none. So I can't say that I've got this and this and this. And faith without works. How do you know you trust? How do you know you trust someone? How do you know that you believe someone? How do you know unless God gives you the reason for the action? Unless God puts that test for you, you can say all day long, oh, I have faith in God and I trust God. And then you go through a thing. Mm-hmm. That is where you apply it. Because mm-hmm. you can talk, you know, I can say I love you, I love you, I love you all day, but if I don't be his helpmate and take care of him and help him and we're one, it's just words. And so every promise is true or it's not. And so that's why I want to be in the, not, oh, up here, and then, well, this one's not another. I got to take them all or none of them. So,
amen.
I am
yes.
currently in all or in none, and I'm going to be in all.
Yes.
That's something there, as far as trust goes. How do you know you trust? I mean, of course you trust. Because you got to do this. I mean, that's what you say. Anyway, there was something said over me for a meeting. It seems like God wants me to sit at his feet. Not be a Martha, but sit at his feet and learn deeper. Mm-hmm. Learn me and deeper. I'm sure you trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Bonnie, I'm sitting there right with you. Because this has been the weirdest time of my life. Because my house is messy. I'm a hoarder of makeup and hairspray. My bathroom is messy. I'm storing all my girls' Barbie dolls still.
Yeah.
I have to got my house, and I thought, Paul's going to sit all day. He can't work, and I'll just.
Yeah.
But I have become his helpmate.
Yeah.
And just about the time I think I'm going to start that bucket of clothes and I'm going to throw it away, he says, can we go for a walk?
Yeah.
You know, or I got this cane, and then I just sit by and pray. I learned that if my house burns tomorrow,
more, the Lord called me home. I'm not going to wish that I could come home to make sure that my house was gutted.
Yeah.
I'm going to wish that I could finish ministering to him and to other people. I've been guilty of being this. I need to sit at his feet and wait. And that's what I've done. Hours and hours by sleeping with him, laying by him in the bed and praying and praying and praying. And I'm just like, Lord, I should be. No, because all I can do is trust. Mm-hmm. So when you're sitting there at Jesus' feet, look to your side, because I'm right there.
And that brings me to a thing with Ben. Ben is losing ground, and they've given him weeks now, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's losing weight and whatever. So maybe we can pray for him.
Is he still at
Amanda's?
Yeah, okay. Is that where he wants to stay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's been incredible, though.
Yeah.
He's been, like, supposed to be going around for
years,
right?
Years.
Yeah. Decades. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, let's just pray for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, in your spirit, you speak healing upon Ben now?
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Speak healing?
Yes.
Lord, that you would lift that hand down from heaven and pull out this liar. Pull out the, I don't know if it takes the form of a snake, but whatever it takes, whatever the form is, crab maybe, I don't know, whatever. Take hold of that thing and pull it out of Ben now by your spirit. By your spirit. Oh, Lord, you can restore an eye. You can restore anything. You can take those dry bones. You can take dust. And you can make something in your image. Lord, take that thing out of Ben now. Just take it out. Take it out. So that he would be physically strong, have a full and regular life. Oh, do that good work by your spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, that we would have trust, that we would have faith in this as in everything.
Yes.
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 That we would, it would be all of your promises, not the ones that make sense to us. All of your promises. And this is one of your promises. So Lord, we ask of Jesus that you would take this thing out of bed.
Thank you, Lord.
By your spirit.
Yes.
And Lord, once you remove that from Ben, fill it with love from you, Lord.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Fill him with your glory.
That's right. I have known Ben to be after you. You're in your army or whatever. I've known Ben to have you be the thing that he wants. So, Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that you would blow life into that feature of Ben. Blow your spirit into him. And so that whatever is maybe gone, kind of dormant, or I don't know what's going on with Ben. But in any case, that he would just be fired up for you. Fired up. Boom. Just enthusiastic, making a little bit too much noise on your behalf, Lord. Cause that good work to be done by your spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
The revelation of who he is and who we are. We're talking about faith Jesus said that these things I do so that you can have faith. God can do anything. Anything. But he can do more when there's faith.
Mm-hmm.
He does more when there's faith.
That's right. That's right.
And I have to confess or testify that I have not had the faith that I need to have through my walk.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have not had the faith that I need. This thing with this thing, this condition of Pablo's, for whatever reason, the Lord has given me supernatural faith that I don't know where it came from, certainly don't deserve it, but I have known for a long time, that Pablo was going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to be fine. He's going to be better than fine. He was going to be a complete recovery and a bigger miracle, and the Lord would use that. And through that, I've noticed that my faith has grown. I mean, I've been praying for things for decades that have not yet come to pass. Decades. I joke to someone, I've been praying for things longer than Moses was in the desert of the Israelites. You know, I put in my tithe. I have been doing this. Prayer's not answered, you know. Yet, Susan and I were talking, it's like, so what? If that's what God requires of me, that's what he requires. I don't get to arbitrate or negotiate or work a deal and say, look, be our fathers, I'll go pray for seven people and he'll take care of this, right? It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
He controls everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I can do is continue to try and serve. And when you realize that and you go, so is this not going according to plan? Not according to my wishes, but according to his plan. We talk and we throw terms around like faith and trust and patience. And like Peter, those are just words. Peter, the apostle, who had walked in the presence of Christ and was the first one, walk on water, I can do that if you say so, God. He was there. He was at the tip of saying, God, says, I won't forsake you, God. Jesus, talk is cheap. Walk the walk. So, if it looks really bad and you're struggling and you've been in it for a while, don't just go, woe is me. Go, God has got a plan and I'm in the middle of the plan. And ask for strength in the flesh so that the spirit can overcome. But I have not been what I need to be. And that's on me, not on him. I'm better. God's doing the work. And whatever the requirement is, it's the requirement. But I have more faith in prayer today than I did 6 months ago. For a year ago. And I have no reason not to have faith. I mean, I have seen God has done many things. But if the one or two things that I wanted weren't happening, so mm-hmm. I felt he was coming up a little short,
mm-hmm.
And the revelation is, I don't know if that he was coming up short, but I was. Praise God for being so patient with me and letting me get out of the way so he can be the all in all. Which isn't fun to admit, but it's truth. My faith is better today due to the trials and tribulations. I have to be okay with that because that's what it is. Pavel mentioned Ezekiel 37. I've often said that Ezekiel showed the wisdom of Solomon when he's asked, can these dry bones live? And he was smart enough to say, only you know, Father. I'm not gonna wager against it. You know. And I don't need to know. Only you know. These are not always as comforting of thoughts, but if that is the reality of my God, then I need to embrace it.
Yes, amen.
And I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Changed for me. I think it's always like that, like as the end, like last result, but something that's changed in me, you know, it's easy. Pablo told me a long time ago, he's like, you can't ask the Lord why. You never say why, but you just understand, you know, or you just trust, you know, you never say why. Okay, whatever. Well, there's been many reasons that you're like, okay, I'm not supposed to say why, but why, Lord? Like, just a quick side why. And so I've changed, this is something the Lord's done to me, is, you know, I've done this over the years, but especially through all of this, my first used to be like, why, Lord? And I'm like, oh, come on, let's say that. Okay, this trial is okay, I understand it's your plan. Meanwhile, your brain is still like, why is so-and-so going through this? Why is, you know, whatever. And now, for me, I just say, okay, Lord, my first response, this used to be my second response, is, okay, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? What do I need to grow? What more do I need flushed out of me? What more do I need added? What are you teaching me? Instead of why, blah, 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 what are you teaching me? And you know what? He's been faithful every time. Because soon after, all I had to do was see something or look around at 2 hours ago, a day ago, and then see the Lord already set up. He already, I just needed to trust and then know. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's different than me today. Or that's, you know what I mean? And so I just, you know, pray right away. Okay, Lord, what do you need of me? What do I need to be doing for someone, for myself? What do you want to change? Do you want me to get more patience? Because there's been times that I think, okay, I have all the patience, I think. Or I have all the trust, I think. Until all of a sudden something goes downhill and then your heart starts fluttering. Well, guess what? I then do not have all the faith and trust. Because if I start to get anxious about the situation I'm praying with, then I can't say, oh, I have faith and trust about God because I got anxious, which means I need to resist that and move that out of the way. You know what I mean? So that's something that a major thing that's changing me is instead of, well, why? I'm a human. We're going to go through these things. The Bible says that. You know, we're going to go in through infirmities and trials and tribulations, and it rains on the just and the unjust. So I have to stop asking myself why and say, okay, Lord, obviously I need work done. I need something more. So he just keeps pushing things there so that I keep learning deeper faith, deeper trust.
That reminds me, thank you for the rain.
Yes. Thank you, Lord, for the rain for Bonnie. And then the sun for us so we can watch.
I was thinking about you, hear what it was raining, buddy. about that anyway.
Yeah. Sometimes I pray to him, like, Lord, just keep the rain off right here and then move it over to the farmers.
Yeah.
You know, would we want heaven to be easy? I mean, in a sense, it is. You know, it's grace. It's, you know, it's us. It's not us earning it. On the other hand, it is a process, and it's not an easy thing. We're stuck with these situations, and we. And I think about, gosh, Lord, this would be really pretty easy to resolve, you know? But do we really want heaven to be easy? I don't know that we do. Would you want it to be a math test in which we're asked to add to the questions 3 + 4, now what is that? You know, it wouldn't be right. We need, I don't know that the word is hard exactly, but some challenge, something like that going on. I want to, you know, deserve is not exactly the right word, except that I don't know what the better word is, you know. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't want to say, on the one hand, again, of course it's easy. It's just easy. It's just let go, let God. You know, that's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. But still, I want heaven to be something where it is right that I am there. I don't want to be there on account of cheating, having it be, you know. I want it to be right that I am there.
The Garden of Eden was easy. Mm-hmm. Everything was just given initially. And our human nature came out real quick.
Yeah, sure.
It was easy at one point, and I'm really happy that I'm not on that side, and that I'm on this side where I can get there, hopefully, you know, because it would just be the same thing.
Jesus says, he who endures until the end.
That's right.
And I mean, not even Jesus had it easy. I mean, he was able to do things like miracles and go through a wall or whatever, but not, it wasn't easy. I mean, from the moment he was born, you think the Son of God would be born in a palace, you know, with bedding and servants. Or no, he was born in the corner there with
in the manger.
Yeah, where people are not normally born.
Where the animals are.
Right.
And what goes with animals.
Yeah, that's right. Manure goes with animals.
So, from the beginning, it wasn't easy for Jesus. I mean, there's no accounts from until he, you know, turned water to wine, but it couldn't have been easy for Jesus. There's no way.
Look at how easy Paul had it.
Right.
He hardly went through anything.
Right.
No. Gosh. I was, you know, because the dry bones got brought up again and stuff, like 30-some years ago, probably, somewhere around, I don't know. And different people, I'm sure all of you have had different people pray over you and kind of maybe prophesied something or whatever, you know. But I had this one person pray over me, and they said, you will more or less preach to the dry bones. And at the time, you know, we were singing that song a little bit, I think, at that time about just building. And so I just put it away and never thought about it. And then as we got the revelation of the word and everything, it's like now it's so much closer, but I seem so far away from it. You know, but I know it's closer. And then
another person, and this isn't, I'm not trying to, this has nothing to do with me, this would just, you know, but this person gave me this note. This is probably 20 years ago or more. God will have a company of people, sons of the kingdom or the bride of Christ. They will be the word of God manifest in the flesh. And then on the other side it says, to Ken, son of the kingdom, love Jesus. You know, today, I'm nowhere near this. But I believe it. But I'm closer than I ever have been in the past. But and I've never, most anything that was said, I just went, well, if it's truly a prophecy, it will come to pass. And most of them would have come to pass by now that haven't. And I was fine with that because I never, oh, okay, this is it. I'm going to make sure this comes to pass. You can't do that if it's a true prophecy, you know, over you or whatever. So, it's amazing. You have to have faith to believe, and part of it is that he will make you right for the right time.
That's right.
You know? And you don't want to be thinking you're at the right time if you're not right. And it's not you making you right either. You have to, this is where faith comes into God, making that happen in you. You know, bringing it about. So, you know, it's funny, the more, it's like we say, the more truth you get, the more you realize you don't have. And the more God does in you, the more you realize he needs to do in you. You know, I mean, after hearing and receiving, and truly receiving truths that I know are truths of God, that still doesn't mean I'm there, you know? And it means there's still more to come. And you got to really trust God for that. And you know, it amazes me that I can have, God has revealed all these things to you and me, and yet I can be so stupid about God. You know? Just like I should be so sold out at this point. And I'm not necessarily, you know. I should be so sold out. After 35, 40 years, and the last 20 years of receiving truths. But, you know, evidently, he's just got to take me farther. And it's the best thing for me that's probably happened is knowing that I have all these faults. Because it's made me way, way less judgmental of anybody else, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's probably one of the biggest things he's done, I think, with all of us, has shown us that, yeah, I'll give you great things, but don't ever assume you've made it or that you're the one, you know? And that way you'll look on other people the same way, knowing they're struggling just like you are, and, you know, but that doesn't mean God gives up on us. I mean, he wants us to know that and see our faults, but he only shows them as we can handle them, you know? A lot of people want us to handle them now. Mm-hmm. Well, God and you say, I'm not ready, Lord, you know, but he'll get you ready. So that's kind of, it was just hearing those comments today, and yeah, I love that. By sitting at his feet, that's a good place. Mm-hmm. That is a very good place.
Mm-hmm. It's a good place for everybody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it is for everybody. Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, which my guy showed you, and if you share that, see, when you share that, then that involves everyone. So I'm not the only one that's going to come about to preach to dry bones. There's going to be all kinds of people. And I'm not going to be the only son of the kingdom. There's going to be lots of sons, and that includes daughters, you know, same thing. So, you know, it's not that, yeah, I'm not, but what it does is it lets you know that God knows who you are, you know, and I think all of you have experienced that you know he knows you, you know, and that he chose you, you didn't choose him, you know. So, good place to be, I think.
you know, to me it was a little bit opposite, like that. You said that you know you have all these flaws, but until recently, a few months ago, in my observation, I was good to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, what else is there? You know what I mean? To be fixed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And God had tremendous mercy on me, tremendous, because He's showing me now all these areas that I need to work on, and the truth, honest, I haven't worked on them. God has worked on them. I've done nothing. I haven't done anything. Not because I didn't want to, but it's like only that and I can do it.
Really?
And God is doing it, but it's I am thankful plus that God showed me, hey, work in this, and this, on this. It's all these areas that you need to fix. And then we come. And then we can whatever. And He did it. You know, I didn't know that I needed to work on these areas. And so I'm thankful. You know.
It's interesting when you said that take the brain, because that was a little revelation I got quite a while back, was I realized that if the only way I receive truth is by the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
my brain has nothing to do with getting me to heaven.
No.
And it's the same application
mm-hmm.
of what you're saying about praying.
Mm-hmm.
You're praying with faith. God's going to do it, not you.
No.
So your brain has nothing to do with it except that it tells you to pray. I mean, you know, you have to function. But
mm-hmm.
but it's the same principle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our brains can get in the way of a lot.
Oh, a lot. A lot, no.
That's a nice way of saying our wisdom,
right.
Our intelligence, our intellect, our discernment is getting in the way. I mean, really. I kind of had a revelation I've shared with the guys from time to time is it seems like every time I minimize me
mm-hmm.
and elevate Him, I get in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So every little time I go, you know, I don't need to be, God will do it. I don't need to do that, God will do it. You know, and I keep getting me out of the way and God doing it. That's hard because
mm-hmm.
So you get that, you're constantly, oh, I'm gonna go here, I'm gonna pray this, I'm gonna go to that Bible study, I'm gonna put it on you. Start doing all these things, and those are all good things, but if they're not done in the right way with the right heart,
right.
They can get in the way. You know? So
that's kind of like what baptism does. You know, I used to think that baptism, you know, let the flesh die or whatever, but you know, you're we need to, when he says we need to die, or you know, we need to be minimized. It really means it, you know.
Yeah.
Not that you know, but we do need to. This is a scripture. I need to be die or minimize, so you can be
die yourself.
Right? Yeah.
I didn't say that.
Well, John said that he had to get smaller. Because Jesus, and have Jesus get bigger, or however it's expressed. I wonder if that's what.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a couple different places where
I need to decrease.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Decrease.
That's
yeah.
What,
and Jesus increase. Yeah.
Yeah, we so going to decrease. No.
When Paul talks about, you know, fighting the old man,
yeah.
I always look at it as killing the old man, you know, it needs to be dead. But that's the struggle you always have, is being alive to the Spirit, the dead to the flesh, you know, I mean, and the old man, that's us with sin, and he implies it's there. He kind of doesn't necessarily say it. It goes away. He kind of shows that he just gives you victory to handle it, to, you know, control it maybe or whatever, subdue it. I think that's the way it is in the
how Jesus could do nothing except the Father gave it to him to do.
That's right.
And we need to have that same faith that he will do in us what we need to do at the time we need to do it, at the time we need to speak it. Even Jesus could not do anything except what the Father wanted him to do.
That's a really good point.
Amen. And Jesus knew it. We aren't quite so good at knowing it.
Yes. It's funny how he says just the right people, teacher or whatever in your life that aren't even born yet, but then they come into your life or somebody that's like they were meant to crisscross and be.
I want to read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. I'll do a little bit of skipping, but I'll start in verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And then it describes the seraphim crying, "Holy, holy, holy." The posts of the door were moved at the voice of him. They cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." You know, I don't think that took a whole lot of time. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think that took a whole lot of time. But Isaiah knew where he was. He was a person of unclean lips, and he dwelt in a midst of a people with unclean lips. Lord took the coal from off the altar and touched his lips, and then the next thing he says is, "Here am I, send me." You know, we're gonna be. We get touched with that coal on our lips. We are gonna be ready to go. Ready to go. We weren't ready to go before, but we'll be ready to go when that happens.
You know, it's fun. In the middle of this week, we go out on our deck a few mornings in the week and talk or pray or read the Bible or whatever. And Tuesday, Wednesday, something, we sat out there and I get this daily scripture. And so something in that little, one of those scriptures popped up in the thing. And I told Pablo, I said, "I'm going to read this to you. This is for you." I think it was the "Who am I, send me," whatever. So I read that whole little thing to Pablo. Yeah. Tuesday or Wednesday. So that's really cool that you said that again.
Yeah.
I want to say something about about the prophecy. You know, I think most people, I don't know, have been prophesied or visioned or incurred, whatever. But there's one thing that lacks a really good prophecy. There's never a time put in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the Lord wants to blah, 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 and you're going to go blah, 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 blah. And then our brain is like, okay, when is that going to happen? Well, it might be, you know, a long time.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, it never, ever ends with, in 2 years and 3 months.
That's why I hit that was mercy and grace that somehow, at that time, he put on me that I just wasn't going to make it or start to have it happen. you know. Because it would have been real easy to just start preparing to go do that from that point on.
Right.
But it was like, no, I'm going to wait till he says yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he put that there so that I didn't put a lot of weight on it. I just said, if this is true, it will come to pass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I just kept believing that it would come to pass. And it's, you don't think it would take 20 years.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
No,
it's not there yet.
Waiting on the Lord and
yeah.
all those things. Be patient. You know, how do you know you're patient?
Yeah.
Until you go in the bathroom.
I mean, there's a lot of instances where, I mean, 40 years here, 40 years there, 40 days, whatever, you know. There's time lapses, and some of them aren't short,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and that's part of trusting the Lord, you know.
A thousand years is a day to the Lord, and
mm-hmm.
a day is a thousand
yeah.
years.
Yeah, yes, I get reminded of that a lot.
And Noah building that ark, I tell you.
Yeah.
Like, today? Today? You know.
We were referencing John 3:30. And we kind of had a backwards line. It's he must increase, but I must decrease.
Mm-hmm.
That, and we were right on it. It's like, you know, you acknowledge that, exalt him, put me down.
Mm-hmm. Saying it that way kind of says something different than I have to decrease so he can increase. It's kind of saying also, like, he could increase in my life. But if I stay increased in my life also, I'm keeping his increasing, diluting the water.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen.
There's plenty of people who are going to be calling on his name and doing all of those things, but if I'm not decreased, he's not in control.
Yeah.
Yeah, heaven forbid that we should limit the Lord in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
By not decreasing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's perfectly fine for you to talk to God. You're crazy if God's talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I like the scripture.
It says in Ezekiel 37:11, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And it's not even talking about dead bones. Whatever they say, they're born to grind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at this point, my mm-hmm. taking of that is the dry church. You know,
yeah.
It's dry.
The whole house of Israel. No.
Yeah,
we're all dry.
Yeah.
The, let's see. I was going to bring one quick thing. What was it?
A scripture.
You said I like the scripture.
Oh yes, where it says. And in that day, the Holy Spirit will give you what to speak.
Mm-hmm.
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 I rest my faith on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. And before, I think it says, you will know now what to speak, but the Holy Spirit will give you.
It says, don't even think about what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
he will give.
That's what the preference
yeah.
is. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I really don't want is, Holy Spirit, let me do the talking here, huh? You know, that's what I don't want.
That's something that I really, really love about Corky's prayers. Is that Corky doesn't, recently it's been few and far between that we've had to SOS Corky. But, I tell you, so he never knew if it was 11 p.m., 10 a.m., 2 in the afternoon, okay? And so I told Pablo, I said, Corky is Corky. He's smart. He knows computers. Probably couldn't build a great big shed, but he's good at computers. So he's good at what he's good at, and he's smart. He talks. And I know his brain works a lot, you know? But I told Pablo, I said, we've called on him, and then he'll text me to be over in 3 minutes or be home soon, you know, whatever. And I told Pablo that when Corky talks a different way, and he's smart, and his mind is there, whatever. But when Corky prays, especially because he had no idea when we're going to call him over, and Corky hasn't known what we were talking about 2 hours before, whatever. But many times that Corky prayed, he's
brought up something that Pablo and I were just talking about, or something I prayed quietly or whatever. But the Spirit, when Corky prays, I know he's probably praying on his walk over, but he doesn't come over with this dictated, like, "Dear Heavenly Father." You know what I mean? So when he prays, he's just praying. And I hear the Spirit, Corky. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not even Corky. I just hear the Spirit interceding for Pablo, because I know that Corky did not have enough time to come up with that 7-minute prayer on his 2-minute walk over. And so that's been, you know what I mean? That's been a good thing of, we have to let the Spirit, don't think ahead of time. You know, we're going to go pray with Steve on Wednesday night. He'll probably know late. Let's just pray that the Lord gives us the right thing. But we're not going to start writing things down. I know some things that he would need prayer and to forgive certain people, like the people that bash his eyes out, you know. But I can't go over there with my big list of, because God's Spirit's going to move in a different direction. I just want him ready. I want me ready for it to just flow through. And I know when I pray for different people, I prayed for Charlotte 2 Sundays ago. I just felt at the very end of worship, I was only here for 20 minutes. I just felt to go pray. I stood behind Charlotte and I spoke prayer the entire time. I didn't know what I just let the Spirit just whatever, you know, it affected her and she was in tears. And I didn't ask her, did anything I say relate or did you, you know. I just wanted the Spirit. I felt to pray for her, so then I did. But because all of us can look at someone and you can see maybe what their needs are or assume what their needs are. Mm-hmm. But if we just let this be, we're open vessels and just get ourselves out of there and let the Spirit, get our mind out of there and let the Spirit lead, the Spirit does lead. So.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about Steve and Pablo was talking earlier and I said, you know, he needs eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
And this thought popped in my head. Yeah, it's no big deal for God because he gave them to him originally. He can do it again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, you know, we kind of like, oh, okay. That's no big deal.
Your own kidneys, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them to him once, he can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to get our brain to go, hey, yeah, this is not the big lift. For God, he's already done it.
It's easy to pray for someone in a cast with a broken leg, because your brain knows in 8 weeks that leg's probably going to be, you know what I mean? That's our reasonable service at first.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to step out. And, you know, I was telling Pablo that I'm a prayer. And when I pray for people, I remind myself of my mom. When I open my eyes, I expect it done. If it's not, it's not going to hinder my faith. I will keep praying because I'm also stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
I will keep praying. But I have been praying, you know, I love to pray. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I could probably be a funny pastor's daughter, talker of funny experiences, but in a woman's group, because I have done that before. But I'm a prayer. I just want to pray and pray and pray and believe and pray or encourage. And so I have asked the Lord, that he give me the faith and the trust and to give me a gift of healing in his, because I love to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So I have prayed that the Lord give me, I can ask for whatever gift I want. You know, my mom would always say, God cares what we care about. So I can pray for a new van for someone, or I can pray for a new job, whatever. Well, then guess what? I'm going to pray for the gift of healing, because I'm not a teacher or whatever, but I would like the Lord to give me that, because since I'm praying for people anyway, you know what I mean? But I believe. I don't pray thinking about my pot roast or thinking about, I hope this is done, and I hope this is done. I actually pray with the faith. And so I'm excited for the Lord to do whatever he wants to do. And especially through this, I have been brought down to my most humble, flat. I told Corky that one day when I was out picking the weeds in the parking lot. If you notice, there's chunks of weeds missing in the parking lot. It's a slow process, but I'm out there burning or picking the weeds. And I was telling Corky, I said,
we were talking about something about humbleness, and I said, Corky, I'm like, at this point before the Lord, I'm ready to just lay naked in the grass out there before the Lord and say, okay, I'm your servant. I'm, take it. Take whatever is left of me that it shouldn't be there. Wipe it out. Wipe it out.
You know what you were just saying?
And then fill me.
You know what you were just asking there?
Mm-hmm.
With no makeup.
No. So then I said to Pablo, but I still do my hair and my makeup. Actually, Corky can tell you, I'm out there, all I have on is my mascara. I don't wear makeup when we're walking all week long or whatever.
And you know, I can't tell the difference.
You know what, most guys probably can't. No. Only when there's purple going on.
Yeah.
But I just want to be a vessel. I just want to be a vessel.
Amen.
We pray that all of us, yes.
Love you all.